up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
And I'm expectantly waiting for Ray. He's going to be half an hour later, so he said. So,
yeah, he'll be joining us a little later here. Chi will not be here this week, unfortunately.
Everybody had to work on Sunday this week.
Yeah.
Except for me. One day off is nice.
All right. So no new patrons, nothing really to go over at the beginning of the show. We could probably just get right into it.
I guess we could plug the TALG Con house. Mm-hmm. We still have spots available. Prices are going to go up in April, so your time is running out. Now is the time to go. There is still 14 beds available. It is a five-day?
I think it's longer than that. I think it's five nights. But yeah, it's just a nice long vacation in San Diego. We're planning out things to do. I like the idea. I threw out the idea, and I think it was well received. But we'll see. The idea of going to a casino out here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know if they have those elsewhere.
Yeah, it's they do, but I think it's the California ones do it right. Like do the really big mm-hmm. ones and stuff.
Yeah, so on reservations out here, we have casinos, and they have amazing buffets, too, if you don't like to gamble. The only thing is, they don't have any dice games, so no...
Or real roulette, either. It's roulette, but it's removed by one step. Yeah. It's so weird, dude. So they roll the ball, it lands on a number. That number corresponds to a card. They flip the card, and that's the... Yeah. It's like, why?
Everything has to do with cards. It's slot machines and cards. Yeah. It's so weird. So no craps, nothing.
But they're very nice places, man. I just went to Viejas for the first time. And I think...
For the first time,
blew
really?
Blew me away, dude. Blew me away. It's so nice.
What's crazy is that they're constantly upgrading it, too. Because I used to be up in that area all the time. And, like, they're always... They always have some construction going on. They're always adding a new area to it or a new dining area. Really nice restaurants.
Were you gambling?
No, I didn't really gamble that much. You know, there was that huge phase like in the mid 2000s where everybody was playing poker, Texas Hold'em. Yeah. So I would play in some tournaments there but I wasn't really that good.
Yeah. I suck at poker.
Red Rum. Thanks for the subscription, man. Starting it out right. All right. So we've got a lot to cover in the on the radar section because PAX East happened and there were quite a few games announced and we went through them, picked out the ones that we like, and there are a lot of them.
Yeah. Bobby picked a couple last week, so we're not going to do those, obviously. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of stuff, way more than what we picked, but I only went with stuff that had something interesting to talk about and also gameplay. You know, it's all just an idea until you actually have something working, you know? So I skipped everything that didn't have any gameplay. We're going to probably quickly go through these. Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout is a battle royale, but it has nothing to do with guns or anything. It's more like an obstacle course. They said that they were inspired by things like Ninja Warrior. Well, there's a Japanese version of that where they make fun of... It's all very, like... not Ninja Warrior, the Japanese one, but it's more game showy. It's more like just ridiculousness. Hmm. So you're just running in one direction. It's a race, but things are killing the little guys, the fall guys, the whole time. I thought it was super clever, great little idea. I don't know how it's all going to work. Like once you win, I guess that's it until the next one. I don't know much more about formatting, but I think everything that you when you win, you unlock like visual stuff.
So, yeah, they said there are two types of currencies in here, kudos and crown. So one of them you only get if you win. The other one you get if you pass like one of the levels. So each of these games is going to take place with 60 people, just like a battle royale, a whole bunch of people that you throw in to this and you go through one obstacle course and the people who lose, they get knocked out. They go queue up for another game. The people who win, they move on to the next round. You're going to have about five rounds in each game. And there's a total of, I think they said they're going to start with 30 different course types. So there's going to be some variety here.
Almost like the mini games in Mario Party or whatever.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I'm glad that they're applying the battle royale mentality to something other than a shooter because that really is such a great way to design a game. It completely mitigates that whole punishment. Before this, the only way games would punish you if you died or lost is you just go on a timeout, right? It's like you don't get to play for 20 seconds, you know, and suddenly Battle Royale comes out and they're just like, you lose. You know, the other person gets the satisfaction of knocking you out. So they, you know, they feel powerful, but at the same time, it doesn't make you feel like crap. Like you just are like, whatever, queue up again.
Yeah.
So.
And then the loser just queues up again and is already on a new thing. And then, every stage of difficulty that you survive, it gets more and more intense and more rewarding until ultimately you get the win.
It's a great design. And I'm glad they're doing it with something else other than shooters.
Yeah, I agree. I think this looks good. It sounds like it's going to be free to play, don't you think?
They said in the interview that they do not have a price point yet. They didn't comment on that. So that makes me think that it won't be free to play.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It'd have to be a pretty low price point.
Yeah.
I realized we were going to do our call-in before, but we forgot to adjust the show notes. But we'll do that after on the radar. We'll get through this quick, and then we'll have our call-in here.
Okay.
With our new audio sound.
So I did all of this like right after the podcast last week, so I might have to take a look at it to try to remember what this is. I can't even pronounce this. You want to try that, Bobby?
They pronounce it in the trailer. This one is called The Dungeon of Nahulbeck.
Nahulbeck.
Yeah. The Amulet of Chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a turn-based tactical adventure game, very cartoony. Honestly, I took a look at this one and it looked great, but it didn't really have anything. A lot of games that we're going to go over here, they have one little thing that's different or special about them. This one kind of just looked a little generic, but nevertheless good.
Yeah,
well put together.
What I saw that was different about this, first of all, the graphics are really, really good. But the, oh man, it's almost like a mix between an action RPG and a turn-based action RPG. Like it's a turn-based combat, but it plays out like an action RPG. I don't know. It looks very fluid. It almost looks like you're doing the inputs yourself. And you're running around with your entire crew behind you. And in other games, it would just show the main character or maybe guys walking right behind you. This looks like a bunch of people just running towards something. It looks a lot more natural. And I think this has a lot to do with the characters themselves, switching out the characters, different setups and how you're going to put them together. Kind of reminds me of Sekudo, where you had a bunch of different characters. Anyway, I just like the way that how many characters there are and the way they put them on screen, as opposed to other games where the background characters are hardly even shown off. It almost seems like they all have equal parts in this, as opposed to having just one lead character.
Yeah. No price point on this one yet, and it's coming out in summer of 2020. All right. Next up is going to be Round Guard.
Again, I have to remember what these are.
This was an interesting one. So this one is it's a roguelike. It's kind of a strategy game. It's but it's also mixed with pinball. So it's like a dungeon crawler, where you're going around a dungeon, almost like twin stick shooter, top down viewpoint, but you're bouncing off all these different things. Like you're in a pinball machine, almost like Peggle.
Somebody said that it's like Diablo and Peggle if they had a baby. And that's both those things are things that I love. I love Peggle. I was crazy about it. And then for them to put RPG elements, stats, gear, I like once you let go of the character, I don't think you're controlling anything, Bobby. I think it's Peggle way in that. But you could probably affect, I don't know, how far you bounce, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. And it looks like you have attacks as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of random chaos to it. But, again, like a great idea. This is not something I've seen before. Yeah, a good name for it, Round Guard.
It's a really good, this could pull it off, or it's very easy that they fuck this up. Very hard that they pull it off. Very easy for them to pull it fail, I feel like. This is going to be hard to pull off. I hope it's fun.
Well, it comes out soon, March 13th, 2020.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one. No price point. I'm probably going to pick it up.
No price just yet. Wonderbelly Games is the developer.
What do you think, Bobby? If you were developing a game, would you put the price out before day one?
Mm,
I don't see any advantage either way.
I don't know. There must be a reason that not a lot of people do it now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these games that we go over, they don't list the price.
Maybe like, some stat came out at some point where like sales have been lower for people that show their price early. I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Hellpoint. So this looks like a Souls clone, but in a sci-fi horror setting. This one, like Dungeons of Nuremberg, it didn't seem like there was anything too. I guess the setting is kind of unique for a Souls-like game.
Yeah, it was like a cyber horror game.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like very Doom-esque, from what I remember, like the ambiance and stuff like that. I just thought this one looked really cool.
Yeah, visually, I like the look. I like the design and the motif. It definitely does look like Doom. A lot of demons, a lot of science fiction stuff.
And it's third person as opposed to first person, and it's melee combat.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a Dark Souls game.
Yeah.
Sure. But it does have co-op, I believe. Yeah, online co-op, local co-op.
Cool. This was probably the best, visually, probably the best looking game.
I don't know. If you look at this full screen, I don't think it holds up as well.
Mm.
It does look pretty good, though. Like, the design is great. All right, next up, The Falconeer. There's not a lot of information on this one.
This is it was a third-person action game where you fly around on a giant falcon. But it's like it's an RPG, but mostly the way you get around is flying. And the combat, I believe, is during flight and all that stuff. I just thought it was a cool way to make an RPG. Usually you're just running around everywhere. Getting boats and stuff like this, but it changes the game completely if, you know, once you add this level of verticality to it. So they show things of them flying to, like, through giant caves and... is this underwater?
Mm-hmm.
That seems like...
Yeah, it looks like you're in a water world. Like, there's no land. It's just a bunch of boats and then these raft cities, and then you're flying around on an eagle, and there's also airships and air combat.
Kind of looks like Kamino from Star Wars. Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, but there's not a raging storm going on.
Mm.
I don't know. There was so little about this game that it was hard for me to get too interested in it.
Yeah.
They really don't give you much. No release date, no price.
Nothing. Remember that MMO that was all flying based?
No. I didn't play a lot of MMOs.
I don't think anybody played this one. But it was kind of like a... what's it called? Kind of like WoW-ish, but everybody was like an angel, and so they just added flight to everybody. Nope. Anyway.
Do not remember that one. I think I started actively ignoring MMOs after a while.
Yeah.
Sniper says the guy who made Falconeer made a really popular Skyrim mod.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. Okay. Next up is Haven. So this is by the Game Bakers, the developers that made Fury. F-U-R-I. Emilio, I think you played that one.
I don't remember it.
Somebody played that. It came up on the podcast years and years ago.
Hmm.
So this is they call it a date game. You know how they have like date movies? This is trying to be like a date game. It's a co-op game with a little bit of a romantic theme, like two star-crossed lovers trying to escape their planet so they can be together. And I don't know what it is. It's like an RPG, I suppose.
Yeah, but it looks like they're running around collecting things. Mostly I put it on there because it was intended. It says, you know, play with a special someone. And I just thought there's not a whole lot of games that try to do that. I mean, that's really hard to pull off. Graphically, it looks awesome. Cell shading, a lot of pastels. It just looks like a nice place to hang out. But yeah, if they're able to pull this off and like maybe get people's girlfriends to like actually enjoy a game, it might be really good for somebody.
Hmm. Possibly.
Yeah.
This other game is focused not so much on relationships but on heavy co-op. This one is called Biped.
Oh yeah, this reminded me of like a 3D adventure but of version of Portal 2.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I got that vibe too. Definitely a Portal 2 multiplayer vibe.
Yeah, because you're playing of these two little robots that have no arms. So they can't really manipulate things other than jumping and putting their weight down on things. And it's just a bunch of puzzles that take two people. Like, that's the entire game. So it's like a puzzle adventure game. And it's super cute. And I think it would be a lot of fun to play through with somebody. Mm-hmm. Some of the puzzles look like they have like rhythm to them. Like, you got to play it, push the buttons at the same time. And a lot of just like physics-based puzzles. It looks fun as shit.
Yeah, there's not enough games like this. That was such a great part of Portal 2. We got a little bit of that in that prison escape game that we played.
Yeah, Way Out.
A Way Out, yeah. But the only issue with a game like this is once you solve the puzzle, then it's gone.
That last game we just talked about, the
Haven.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a Way Out, but with a girl and a guy instead of, you know, like a Way Out, okay. You're kind of forced into two male roles. Mm-hmm. The male and the female part, I think, adds a lot. It could add more to it.
Yeah. All right. So Biped comes out March 27th, pretty soon here. No price on that yet.
Yeah. I think I'm probably going to pick this up.
I imagine it'd be pretty cheap.
Oh, I want to thank you, Bobby, for the Plex, recommendation.
Plex? Yeah. Plex is,
dude,
great.
It's been working great, man.
Yeah.
All those like 100% legitimate movies that I have, that I ripped from DVDs.
Yeah. Made legal backups.
Being able to watch them on my TV upstairs in 4K with like full control of like rewind and all that stuff. It's beautiful, man. And
yeah, it works so smoothly.
The only problem I've had is when I do 4K, there's some buffering.
Which is,
it's not terrible. So, but 1080 looks fucking fantastic. So
yeah,
it's
the only trouble you'll run into is if you get like some HDR movies, which you probably don't. But HDR doesn't look that great on it. But you can do that wherever, man. Like you're probably not watching movies anywhere else but your house.
Yeah.
But like when I'm over at my girlfriend's, I can access my movies there using Plex.
Damn.
And then
you cast it to the TV once you have it on
your phone. Yeah, the TV will have an app, or I use the media center that she has to play it in the living room.
That's the great part. It has, any smart TV has an app called Plex, and you could just do it there.
Yeah, and you can also get one for your phone, but you have to pay for that. But it's only like $5. You pay the one-time fee of like, maybe not even $5, like a couple of bucks, and you buy the app. Otherwise, very weird, it only lets you play like 1 or 2 minutes of each thing. I don't know. That's like its version of a demo. But yeah, no, it's great. All right. We got more. I was going to say last game because I feel like we've been going through so many. Burn Division, thanks for the subscription, man. 9 months.
Thank you.
All right. Next up is Iron Danger.
God, dude, I'm glad that you looked at these again because, it's been a week for me.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta look at them the day before. So this one is another adventure RPG. They don't really specify, but they do say that it has a unique time manipulation mechanic. So it's somewhere in between turn-based and real-time.
Yeah.
There's some way you can adjust that. I don't know how that mechanic actually works.
Yeah, you're kind of playing... The closest thing I could remember is Transistor, but it's almost like Transistor. Because in Transistor, you could do turn-based or action, right? I remember you kind of go into this freeze frame, you plan your actions, and then it plays out in real time. This is almost the opposite, where you play in real time, and if you die, you rewind, strategize, and try to figure out what angle would be best to do whatever, dive or whatever, and then it plays out. So it's not as... It's not exactly super hot-ish. It's maybe something kind of new. I thought it looked pretty great. But the only problem that I didn't understand is like, if they just give you infinite replays, where's the difficulty? So maybe there's
balance. It's got to be balanced somehow. Yeah. There's got to be some trade-off.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. Like, it's a good-looking game.
Yep.
It's being published by Datalic. They make a lot of, or they publish some pretty good games.
Oh, really, guys, the reason we cover this pack stuff, like, I know there's a lot of people that are only interested in like AAA stuff. It's like, this is the breeding ground of new ideas. This stuff, the yeah, stuff that
this
really
is where the chances are being taken.
Yeah, these are where the chances are being taken, and then you know, 5 years down the line, there'll be a AAA title with these ideas in them. So,
all right, some biddies coming in, 1600, nice.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Next up, No Time to Relax.
This one?
Oh. This reminded me of The Game of Life.
That's exactly what it is, man.
But like a goofier version, yeah. Almost.
So it's a 4-player board game where you have to, I think, get a bunch of shit done, right? Don't you have just like a
yeah, just
a lot
like
of chores?
Everything you would do in
real life, yeah.
Yeah.
Try to balance budget and all this stuff. It sounds not fun, but the way they present it is a very cartoony way. It was like. Fall completely into consumerism, and it's just like filling up your apartment with a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
So anyway, at the end, I forget how the winner is chosen. I don't think it's money. I think it's like some weird thing, like who's used up more of their time the week or whatever. Anyway, this looks like a great game night game. I hope it's not too expensive. How much is it, Bobby?
It's out right now. You can buy it. Not even early access. This game is straight up out. $14, though.
Yeah.
Seems kind of steep, especially if you have to buy multiple copies to play with people.
I was really hoping for the 4-pack on this. I remember scrolling down.
Online PvP, shared split-screen PvP. Let's see how many people are playing this right now. 14? Man, see, if it were cheaper and they had like a 4-pack deal, this would be great to play with some people.
And what are the reviews like? Like, what's the percentages?
Let's see.
Very positive. 95.
There's very few of them.
And 93.
Yeah, they're high.
Yeah, yeah 300 are, or so.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I want to check that out.
Looks good.
Seems like something Days would love.
All right. Last, Baldur's Gate 3.
Man, so this is coming from Larian Studios, our maker of what I think we agreed is the best RPG ever made. Mm-hmm. It's just, Divinity Original Sin 2 is just fucking, we've talked about it too much. Baldur's Gate, they actually actively campaigned to try to get when they knew that the owners of the IP wanted to make a game, they had to campaign to try to get it. And then once they got it, because they're all obviously D&D fans. So they were able to get this. And what they're trying to bring to the table is the complete freedom that you have in D&D. Like in D&D, what you can do is only limited by your imagination. They wanted to bring that into a video game. So it's going to be, I imagine, something like Divinity, but your options on what to do aren't going to just be down to just like attack, walk, run away, mm-hmm. or stuff like that. This is like, what happened? I was reading, PC Gamer went over there, started playing, and they said even them playing with the devs, they were getting fucked up so bad. Because just the random shit that was happening was just too much for them to overcome. I think one of the devs slipped on some wine that was on the floor, and also his legs were shackled or something, so he couldn't do anything. But what he was able to do is take off his shoe and throw it at the bad guy and knock him off. Mm. And that's not something that's like predominant in the game. Shoe throwing is not something at the top of the list of what you do. But, it gives you an idea of what they're trying to go for. Maybe you could grab something off the wall and throw it at something, or pick up a chair or stuff like that.
Yeah. Just be completely unscripted.
Yeah.
It's weird though, is I feel like a lot of people push back on that a little bit, because sometimes people enter a game, they expect to have the goals and objectives laid out before them, clearly defined for them to meet. But I don't know. People know it's a Larian Studios game. Like, people know what they're getting with this. So I don't think there's going to be people like that, but
a lot of depth and a lot of do-overs.
Yeah.
Like starting over, over and over and over.
Yep.
But, man, I wish them all the luck. What's up, Ray?
What's up?
Ray just walked in. It's super ambitious, but they have the ability to pull something like this off.
Yeah. Yeah, they recently had an AMA, too. I didn't read it. I'm not really following Baldur's Gate that closely.
Nor am I, but they were at PAX East. I also like that about them. Like, they're now a AAA company, but they still do the indie stuff, you know?
Yeah. All right. I think we need a little more time for a call-in here.
Yeah. Let's do Valorant. That's I heard it. Have you guys heard about that game?
On the radar?
On the radar?
No.
Valorant? That does sound familiar.
Valorant. Seen it?
Have not.
It's Overwatch meets Counter-Strike.
Okay.
It looked fun. It's a 5v5 tactical, you know,
tactical
game,
but with characters.
But with characters, they're agents.
Isn't that basically?
It's Overwatch.
No, but isn't that?
It's
more
not.
Like...
No, it's fun.
What was it
like?
Say?
Like these guys have powers.
Okay.
This footage is pretty cool. Like if you actually watch this, these guys have like they can see through walls or jump up shit or like. To really just little cool little powers, right? Each one.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, planting the bomb. Just 6 years ago. It's not called a bomb here. It's called the spike ball, I believe.
Okay.
And it's like 100 second games. See, this guy's trying to do a little power. And now through that wall, he can actually see people, I think. See?
Okay. So it's like a 5v5 knockout like Counter-Strike, but yeah. They have abilities.
But they have abilities, yeah.
Is it... Like headshot and you're dead, like Counter Strike.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's supposed to be. Oh, see.
You know what this really reminds me of? Counter Strike back in the day had like servers where you could play with powers.
I remember that. Little mods and stuff.
There were little mods where like one was like Magneto, where you could pull fucking. It was all the Marvel characters.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you could pull guns out of people's hands.
Yeah.
And then, like, you could be Wolverine where you had regen, stuff like that. That's kind of exactly what this
was. Yeah, I was actually doing that. And, the carriers didn't change, right? Like, the models didn't change, but you had those powers, mm-hmm. and it would say, like, on the mm-hmm. bottom on the text. I remember that. But, yeah, man, these guys, it's his Riot Games.
Oh, this is from Riot.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, those games that they announced, mm-hmm. They're starting to have video on them. They also have an adventure game coming out. They have 8 games coming out.
Really?
Yeah. Riot game is the LOL, right? LOL?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have 8 games coming, or 6 games.
Oh, so there's one of them.
In a lot of different genres. Yeah, okay. So they're expecting a release date in summer 2020.
For what?
For this game.
Yeah. Well, I think the latest was October, right? I mean, now it's getting pushed to October, or what does it say now?
It's not definite.
No.
It says expected summer 2020.
I would definitely play this.
It looks fun, man.
Yeah.
Even the little... It's a little too Counter-Strike-y when you look at the map on the like in the top, the crosshair, you know. It's just kind of... The animations look a little wanky. That's me, though. But I don't know. I think it looks fun. I'd really want to try that game.
Yeah, if it's in the $20-$30 range, I'd be definitely.
It's free to play.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So everyone can play this.
Nice.
All right. Before we get to our caller here, I just want to draw attention to this. So a week or two ago, I interviewed Paul Conway from Spooky Doorway Games, Dark Side Detective. But he posted this on Twitter, which I just thought was incredible. It was some little project he did, just pixel art, where he recreated a scene from John Carpenter's The Thing, the scene where they're testing the blood to find out who. So if you haven't seen that movie, it's one of the best movies, man. It is so good. But I just thought this was absolutely amazing.
The original one? Probably the black and white one?
No, not that one. The original one, I always consider
the 2004?
Yeah.
The one that was made in the 80s, right? That one?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, early 80s.
Okay.
82, I think.
It's clobbering time? No.
No.
No. Not that thing. No. This one where, oh, man, I don't even want to describe the plot. If you go into this movie fresh, it is just so great. But I thought this turned out great. And even at the end, you can see how he kind of made, turned it into, like, if it were a game, there's like a meter of, I'll pause it when it gets to the end. There's like a dialogue text and a meter of like fear and paranoia. But I want this to be a game. It just looks absolutely incredible. But
is that what is he teasing a game here, or is
I
it
don't
just
think
kind
so.
Of like
I think this
fun...
is just like a little side project.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so if you are not following this guy at Doomcube, you really should check it out, because he posts stuff like this all the time, like what he's working on, and like any pixel art projects.
Hideo's teasing a game too on Twitter, but and everyone's trying to like analyze every fucking word and like the picture. They're like, oh, the picture, it's a pencil and it has from the triangle. Oh my god, he's gonna do Silent Hills. It's like, what the fuck, dude? Because of the triangle head. Like, calm the fuck down. Stop trying to like get something out of this.
Didn't they say there's gonna be a new Silent Hill though?
No, it's a. I think he's working on a horror game, but I don't know why. It can't be Silent Hills because that's Konima. That's Konima. That's Konami
or Konami.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Do we have Brendan on the line here?
I'm fucking out of it.
Hello.
Hey, Brendan. How's it going, man?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing all right. So we're going to ask you a couple questions here. We're going to play some music. We're going to play some sound effects. We're going to see if you can guess them, and then you'll get a shot at the one that counts. Now, have you been following before the previous sound
game? I haven't been following the ones before, no. So this will be a surprise for me.
Okay, so you're going in fresh. So, Brendan, we've never met before. I have no idea what games you play, PC or otherwise, here. So it's going to be hard for me to pick out some sound effects, but I'll try to make them easy for you. You want to start with music?
Sounds good. We'll see if I can get any. Hopefully I can get one at least.
Okay. You want to start with music or a sound effect?
Sure. Let's start with music.
Music. Okay. All right. Something easy. Something easy. I don't think it gets much easier than this. Let's see.
Idea.
Oh man,
I don't even have a guess.
I only played the first one, and I didn't play later on when it got cartoony and stuff.
Wow. Yeah. So you're Sniper's friend, right?
Yeah, yeah, I'm Sniper's friend.
Okay, so this doesn't surprise me because Sniper had never played this game either, and was recently introduced to it.
He did like it once ago. Once we introduced it, I think.
Of course, everybody does.
Yeah,
it's Team it's Fortress so 2. Yes, it's the best.
Oh,
game ever.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. You've never played Team Fortress 2?
No, I haven't played that.
Oh, you are missing out.
It's free. You could try anytime.
Yeah. All right.
And it's really maybe good. I'll have to give it a shot then, yeah.
All right. Well, that's one down, but maybe you'll do better on the sound effect here. All right. Another softball here. Let's see. What do we got? What do we got? All right.
Terrorists win.
Oh, man.
All right. Tell me you know that one.
Is it like Black Ops or something?
Banned! No! That's horrible!
No.
I don't know.
It's a little indie title called Counter-Strike.
She loves this game. Counter-Strike. She's the best at it.
Yeah. Counter-Strike Go. Yes. That's Counter-Strike Go. Or CS Go. Counter-Strike Global Offensive. Whatever you want to call it. Yeah. All right. Well, you didn't do too well there, but those ones don't count.
And somehow he's going to get the next one?
I tried. At least I tried.
All right. So let me pull up the new mystery sound here. And again, this all depends on what games you play, people. We play a lot of games, is what I've come to realize.
Yeah.
Like, we play way too many games here. All right. So can you tell us, for five whole dollars, where this sound comes from?
It could be any video game.
You guys fucking picked the worst one.
I don't know.
Here, let me play it another time.
I want to say like Street Fighter or something.
It does sound like Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Like when Guile gets knocked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But there's like something in the background, like a little like metal.
No, I'm sorry. That is not Street Fighter. Yeah. But that's a good guess, though.
Yeah. What do you play, man?
I play lots of like PC games mostly, like Civilization. I've been playing like Warcraft 3 lately, League of Legends.
How are you liking that Reforged?
Honestly, I really liked it when I was a kid, but I realize now that the game is kind of like not very user friendly.
Yeah, that if anything they were going to update, it should have been that, right?
Yeah, it should have been like you should be able to just invite your friends into a game, like into a party sort of thing. You know what I mean? To play a custom game. Like, yeah. Personally, that's what I think. But I don't know.
I agree with you too, for sure.
So you play a lot of Warcraft. Are you play custom maps or do you play just a regular or melee?
I play custom, but I play a little bit of the regular too. Yeah.
Okay. What race do you like?
I like to play as orcs.
Orcs. Interesting. That's racist. Okay. That's racist. I don't know if you watch Grubby at all, but I think that's his favorite race too. He plays a lot, quite a bit of that. But yeah, I was always a human. Humans were the most basic one, so I don't know. I always just like felt that was the easiest one to learn. But,
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but strategy games. So you definitely are a sniper's friend.
Yeah.
What's been obviously Civ is always the go-to, but like, what's another strategy game that people might not know that is pretty good?
The people might not know. I don't know. Like, I was playing like Cities and Skylines for a bit and Stellaris lately, but those are pretty popular games, I think. Yeah, so
Stellaris got better, right? Like, it came out and people loved it, but then I don't know. It had no mid game, I heard, but then they fixed it. Do you know? Did you just start playing it recently?
It's like Civ, but it takes longer, I'd say. It's like it's a marathon, I'd say. They're long games.
Yeah. Longer than Civ? Jeez. Who's got
time for that shit? It's fun, but it takes a long time to finally win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, those games are great if you got the time. Later in the show, I'm going to be talking about Star Wars Rebellion. I don't know if you ever played that one. You're probably not old enough for that one, but that was...
No, I haven't played that one.
Okay.
It's a grand strategy, right?
It was a grand strategy before grand strategy existed.
Gotcha. So what's a grand strategy?
Like a total war game.
Okay.
Yeah. But all right, Brandon. Well, thanks for hopping on and playing the game with us here. Better luck next
time. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for letting me try.
Absolutely, man. All right. We'll see you later.
See ya.
All right. Man, I try to give it to them, but they always miss, man. I'm making them easier every week, and I feel like the last couple of people have gone 0-3. But, yeah.
I mean, terrorists win, dude. I think Sam would have got that.
Seriously.
It all depends on what you play, man. Yeah, I still can't get over Warconius not guessing Bioshock 3.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we at? Highlights.
Highlights.
Yeah, what's Neon Abyss?
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
I don't know. Who put that there?
I don't know. Really? Click on it. Let's see what it is.
I mean, I could go into
What? It's probably a game that I was meant to put on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You put it there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm starting to remember what this is, I think.
That looks cool.
We can remember later.
Okay.
Let's not figure things out on the air here. But you have been playing Curse of the Dead Gods.
Yeah, I played it for about 2 hours today because that's all the game time I got this week. Completely. It's everything that I thought it was going to be, man. It's in early access, but I did feel like I got a complete game. I think the rest of what the early access is going to be doing is figuring out the tweaks, just messing with their numbers and moving things around, adding more things. Because the big problems right now are like the inventory at the store, like things that you can buy, are really repetitive. There's only like 6 things that I saw. Mm. I kept seeing the same 6 things. So there's still little things like that. Those curses that you get, Bobby?
Yeah.
For those who weren't here last week, it's a twin stick shooter roguelike right up my alley. It's like the closest thing to this is Hades. Very, very similar to games. But I like where roguelikes are going, where it has a little bit of synthetic in it too, where you can modify the game for the next runs. So there's these things called amulets that you get, and they give you buffs. But you can only have one equipped at a time. Mm-hmm. So you try to find the right buff, and then, you know, it could adjust to your play style. But you could also unlock more buff slots, more slots for your amulets. Mm-hmm. So that changes that. And then on top of that, so we were talking about the curse mechanic. So every time you open a door, you get more cursed. And every time you do a lot of things, every time you buy something from the store, your curse goes up. Certain bad guys do blood damage to you, like health. They hit your HP. Some bad guys do lower HP, but hit you more in the curse. You know, like your curse meter goes up. So they're just like cursing you the whole time. There's these witches.
Kind of like Darkest Dungeon, where some enemies don't do a lot of physical damage, but they do mental, a lot of stress damage.
Yeah, stress damage. And it's just like what you said, Bobby. It's like these things, they come with negative and plus, right? So just an example of one of the curses was that money is worth more, but it disappears faster from the ground. So every time money falls on the ground, you have to get it, run over and grab it. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, so it's like little things like that. That's another thing that got very repetitive. Like I saw, even though I only played for 2 hours, I saw the same curses probably quite a few times, you know what I mean? Yeah. So those are just things that obviously are going to be worked out through early access. The combat's really fun. Those meters that you see underneath, that's his, those little dots that you see underneath the character, that's his stamina. So basically anything you do takes stamina.
The stamina regenerates, right?
Yeah, right away. And there's also like things that you could do to gain combat stamina points while fighting. So say you're in the middle of a combo, somebody attacks you, you can parry. Parries are huge in this game. If you parry, you get one point back on your stamina. And it just goes on and on. This game has so many things going on for it. Like everything that Synthetic had, but it's a completely different aesthetic and the combat. I enjoy the combat in this more, actually, than Synthetic. They're at the store, you can pay in gold or you can pay in blood. So you could just... But all transactions take curse. So there's just a ton going on. The only way to heal off of regular bad guys without any kind of modifiers is if you kill them with the environment, you heal 3% of your health per bad guy. So you really try to kill them in their own traps. It's not like the main mechanic of the game, but it's definitely something you can focus on or completely ignore. There's a lot of that. You can play this game a lot of different ways. And I'll be playing it more and more. Mm. This is a nice streaming game too, I feel.
So you're past the 2 hour mark, not going to return this one.
Oh, definitely not. No, definitely not.
What's the price tag on this game?
$14.99. I think that's totally acceptable, especially for the level of where it's at and the production value. I'm always a sucker mm-hmm. for, like, it looks like a great game.
Yeah.
And it is. It will be a great game. It's a good game right now.
Cool. All right. You want to talk about Retrograde Arena?
I don't know what that is either.
Oh, Jesus.
Just skip it. We'll get it later.
Okay. So I watched a documentary. It was recommended on Discord by Zap. It was called Not for Resale. I didn't get a chance to thank him in Discord, but thank you, Zap, for bringing this to my attention. Always down for a gaming documentary, even though I've watched so many, they kind of get redundant at this point, but this one was new. So this is focusing on how physical media is dying out and digital distribution has taken over and kind of the effects that that's having on the industry. And really nothing in this documentary is going to be news to you. They're not going to say anything in this that you have not already heard. At least you and me who've kind of just have been aware and followed this.
Right. I feel like, was this new? Because it feels like this.
Yeah, it came out last year. So okay. It's pretty recent. What is cool is that they go inside all these different shops around the United States and they show you
what they're doing.
Storefronts. Yeah, well, storefronts that are still. Let me turn off that audio. Storefronts that are still dealing in physical media. And how they're getting by, how it's affected them. They also kind of transition later in the documentary into one of these guys who even took it to the next level and created a video game museum, basically. It's in mm-hmm. Dallas, Texas. And it's got all the consoles, all the games, documentation, like just about everything you can imagine, completely dedicated to video games. And there's actually one of the stores that they show in here is in San Diego. It's called Luna Video Games, and they actually have a location right here in Chula Vista where we're at, maybe about a mile or two from where we're sitting. And he's got another one in the San Diego State area.
Do you know about it, Ray?
No, I never heard of
Luna Video Games.
You've been here all your life, too.
No, never.
I mean, if you look them up on like Yelp or whatever, they're right there. Yeah, and they've changed locations a few times, but it might be interesting to go visit that store and just to check it out.
They are kind of becoming museums.
Yeah, you don't really see them. In fact, like one of the stores that they visit here called People Play Games, I looked that one up and that one's out of business now. This documentary came out less than a year ago. The store's already out of business. So yeah, they're drying up, but they still manage to get by. But you know, one interesting thing that they mentioned in this is that the people like you and me, like our age who had physical media, like they're the only ones that are nostalgic about that stuff and the only ones that are still collecting it. You know, eventually we're going to reach a point where kids grow up and they aren't nostalgic about physical media anymore because digital distribution has been around so long.
I was thinking about comic books. I feel like new comic book fans are not a thing. There's no 14, 15-year-olds walking around with comic books. So when the old comic books die off, same shit's going to happen. Like the interest of the old stuff is just going to die down. Prices are going to go down too, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. It's an ever-changing market, and it's really hard to build a business on that. Now, I should mention where you can find this. Amazon has it. You can rent it for like real cheap, or you can buy it from them. But I think that's really the only place you can get this. But yeah, Amazon is where you can check it out.
The $2.99 or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, if you're into it, it's pretty good. Like, usually I get so burnt out on documentaries, and this one kind of does what some of the other ones do. They just kind of tell me information that I already know. But I really liked, like this guy right here, I need to pause it as it's playing through this trailer. This guy right here, that's the CEO, not him.
Yeah, the guy on the high rise.
Yeah, this guy is the CEO of Psyonix Games. This is San Diego right here. I live like right over there. You can almost see my building. So yeah, they had a lot of San Diego stuff, not just Luna Games, but also Psyonix, because they released a game in 2008 and it wasn't that successful. And that was still when digital distribution hadn't really fully bloomed yet. And then of course, Rocket League comes out in 2015 when digital distribution is the way to go. And that wasn't completely the reason that Rocket League, was so successful, obviously. Yeah. They did talk about the differences between the two, and that was kind of interesting. But I think what I really enjoyed about the documentary was just going into these game shops and just seeing how they operated. One of them, one of the really big ones, this guy's shop right there.
Yeah.
He's got this machine that he uses to de-scratch CD-ROMs, and I've never seen anything quite like that. Like, I've seen, like, kits you can buy on Amazon, but he had this super expensive machine. The
Game Doctor?
This thing straight up, it's like an industrial machine. It straight up, like, buffs it, like you would in a car, like car waxing or something. Dang. And it actually, he says you can only do it two or three times until the disc there's gets so thin. Yeah, there's not enough left to do it.
Dang.
So little things like that I found interesting. And then at the end, when it got to the gaming museum, that was kind of cool, but... You know, it's if you're into this, because I think there's a lot of people out there. I know we have some listeners who are really into collectibles and physical media and hanging on to that. I kind of want to go through my parents' garage to see if I still have any of my old...
I bet you do.
I must. They try to give me all that stuff back because they're always trying to clean out. So there's San Diego again right there, I think.
Yeah, man. You're putting the burden on them to hold all your shit. Because you don't have any.
Well, they have a garage, man. They got a garage. I actually don't have that much. But I know I got a bunch of baseball cards back there. Maybe some Star Wars CCG cards. I don't know. I think I gave those away. But I feel like... I know I've got Atari games back there. But that would be kind of cool. I wonder if I got anything that's worth money. Probably not.
Yeah, I don't get any of this, man.
I still have all my games. Like my Nintendo, my Super Nintendo, my...
Yeah, so this Chi, I don't get it
like,
at all.
I don't know. I just keep them. They're just there. I'm never going to do anything with them.
Yeah.
They're just there. Like,
okay.
They're going to
stay. What are they doing for you?
They're going to stay in my parents' garage, and I'm going to be in L.A.
So. Yeah, just like Bobby. Just leave them with all your stuff.
Well, there's a part in this documentary. They also go into the Library of Congress, too. Like, this guy right here upkeeps the video game portion. That was an interesting part. But there's a part in this documentary where a guy comes in, and he's just like, I'm getting too old for this. I want to sell all my stuff. And he has, like, this huge, enormous Sega Saturn collection, which is, you know, like, that piqued my interest because I had a Sega Saturn. So all the games he's busting out, like, I remember those ones. Cases were so unique on that system, too. They were, like, huge. They were unnecessarily big.
Did they talk about how
the
much he made off of it?
The same when it started.
They didn't say what they closed the deal at. He said, like, it's probably worth $11,000-$12,000, but I'll take, like, five or six. Mm-hmm. So I think he made about that much off it.
Who knows, right?
Yeah. But yeah, not for resale. Yeah, give it a shot, man. If you're into video game documentaries, then this is, it's well done, too. Like, it's well put together. It's probably worth checking out.
Can't believe I put that stuff on the wrong highlight. The wrong.
Okay. And also this week I played Star Wars Rebellion. Oh, yeah. This game I've kind of been talking about a little bit here and there. This is a strategy game from 1998, way ahead of its time. This game I saw on a shelf in the 90s, and I saw the box art was just, this is back when box art could sell a game, right?
Right.
The box art was just that low angle shot of the Death Star or the Star Destroyer passing over, and it just looked so cool. So I bought it. And I played quite a bit of this game and really enjoyed it. And it got horrible reviews and not a lot of other people played it. And it wasn't that popular back then. But now, I mean, if you look on Steam,
yeah, the reviews
are great. And this game, it really does hold up. It is super good. It was a grand strategy game before that even existed.
Before there was a name, grand strategy.
Like people, I think it was just a little ahead of its time because it's a 4X game, but it's also a real-time strategy. It's not turn-based. Like you adjust the game speed, but time marches on. And you have to just, you're clicking around constantly trying to, tell your construction yards what to do or your orbital ship yards what to produce or move this guy over here, send this guy on a mission and move a fleet over there. Like you're just always clicking everywhere, especially later in the game when you have a lot of areas and units.
How much did you play?
So Sniper and I spent probably half an hour trying to forward ports in our router and play around with UPnP to get this to connect so we could actually play a multiplayer game. Straight up like the 90s, man. Yeah. Just do that old school.
I wonder if you would have played it on GOG if you would have been able to connect right away. Don't they do most of that work for you?
I don't think so, because this is actually built into the game.
Oh,
you click on the head-to-head match, and it says, like, do you want to connect with a serial modem or IPX LAN or direct IP? Dang.
So did you guys connect?
Yeah, we were able to.
Who after won? A while.
Oh, he won. Yeah, I blame my.
He plays a lot of this too, right?
Now, well, what we did, we played we played the mode where basically I was the Imperials. All he had to do was take over Coruscant. What I had to do was destroy his Rebel base that he could move anywhere in the galaxy. So I was kind of at a disadvantage in that regard. But then I think the Empire starts with more ships, so it's kind of evenly weighted.
If you're listening to this and you're wondering what this looks like. Doesn't look like much.
It looks terrible. Yeah, it doesn't look great. It looks like Masters of Orion. It looks very old school. And it kind of plays like Masters of Orion, too. It's straight up strategy. There are parts. Here's the crazy thing. There's are parts where you can participate in the space battles, but there's really no reason to. Like, it's not very exciting. It doesn't look good. The controls are really difficult to use. And the computer's probably going to do a better job than you anyway. So you can
great.
Yeah. The space battles, you can just auto-resolve, like, whatever. And usually that's, like, nice to mix it up. Like, oh, there's a little bit of action in this strategy, but in this game now, you can just skip those, which rarely happens. But still, otherwise, this game is fantastic. And there's so many things that can happen, too. Like, it takes place right after A New Hope. So the Death Star has been blown up, you have to, like, garner support for the Empire or the Rebels and take over the galaxy and achieve certain win conditions. But things can also happen, like Vader can try to turn Luke to the dark side, or Han Solo can get captured by bounty hunters. Like, there's a lot of room for these notable
random
story
things.
Yeah, these story events to happen. So, I mean, that's really cool. And the fact that multiplayer still works after all these years, that's pretty impressive.
How much time did you put into it?
Well, after we actually played that game, and we played, these games take forever.
Yeah.
So we probably played 2 hours, 3 hours, and still it should have, like, I just did something stupid. I moved my fleet away from Coruscant. He moved a fleet there. Planetary assault, game over. So yeah, my bad. But
you guys didn't even get to fight it out?
We had a couple space battles, I think. We didn't have any, like, huge big space battles, but that's not really what this game is about. What I did the next day is I actually...
How is it not about space battles? That's literally what it's about,
dude,
right?
There's so much more you can do.
Really?
Yeah, there's sabotage missions, espionage missions, recruitments, you know, diplomatic missions to Alderaan.
Damn, that sounds so fucking fun.
I mean, if you like strategy games, this is probably one that you have missed.
I missed it.
But this... Yeah. So after that, I decided to play against the computer, and I figured, I'll put it on normal. How bad can it be? And it was way worse. These guys were kicking my ass. It was so bad. The computer was super hard. And then I read a guide on how to play this game and got a few pointers, and maybe I'll give it one more shot here. But this is good. Like, I want to continue to play this game. That's how good this game is.
Oh, dude. I also played an old game, but that's actually good. Microsoft just dropped Halo CE.
Oh, right. Yeah, a lot of people have been playing it.
Yeah, they just dropped it this week, dude. It's just out of nowhere. Boom, there you go. Well, not two weeks ago. I want to say a month ago, I got the email saying that I was in the beta for that. So, like, and the last time they did that with Reach, when I got the beta email, it was like the game came out like 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later after that little beta testing, like the last bit of the beta testing, like the public closed. I mean, well, it was actually closed.
Well, didn't they just add it to the collection?
Yeah, they added to the collection.
Okay.
So they just added the first Halo. And it looks just as shitty as it did before, but it's so much fun. But it was weird. We jumped in. It was Sniper and Mini. Mm-hmm. We jumped in, and because they were gonna be co-op, and then I ruined their shit because I was like, no, I want to play, guys, and they're like, yeah, fuck,
I have to start over.
No, because like Halo 1 and 2 only have co-op,
two player co-op.
It's 3, 4, and 5 have the 4-player co-op single player. Mm. The campaign single player. So then we had to play. Well, we played like just Slayer, and it was fun, but it was just. We were kind of overthinking it, kind of like we wanted to do some, like, how did you, it's like, wait, it's so simple. There was like three buttons. There's like shoot, grenade, and jump, dude. That's all that this game does, right? But it was so much fun. And, but one thing they need to work out with this game, which was very frustrating, is the online. Even though it's neat that I can have, I'm playing it on Xbox Game Pass for $4.99 a month.
Yeah.
And then these guys bought it on Steam. And since we have the on Steam, you can set up your Xbox account on there. You're able to pull your friends from Xbox, and you can play with them. But that whole little UI,
extra step,
it sucks.
Yeah,
it's like it has us waiting in just a menu where it has like 16 little squares, and then you can fill all those up with people. And then you don't know what the main guy's doing. You're just chilling there. You're like, you don't, because like I wanted to help me, because I think Sniper was doing it, and then I think Mini was doing it, and I was like, no, dude, you have to put these settings, and I couldn't guide them. You know, I'm sitting there looking at my name on the fucking screen, so I would back out, go to the multiplayer, and then be like, oh, we can do Slayer, and then with this mode and this mode, and then it'll tell you, these modes are not available. It's like, okay, then this one and this one. These modes are not available. It's like, fucking don't do that. Like, can we just... Can you, when I click on Halo 1, just show me the available modes click on them. Yeah. Not have them all available for all the games. Yeah. It was, that's.
Did they change the UI or did anything change?
It's weird because it's the same Master Chief Collection that I have on my Xbox that I bought years ago that was a piece of shit, didn't work until a year later. Right. It's the same one, but it's just they're having these little issues that I didn't like. You know, I just didn't like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, the gameplay is super fun. It's just Halo, man. We were having a lot of fun, and then we got banned for like 10 minutes. That was fun. I was like, hey guys, last one, because I was gonna come over with Sammy.
Yeah.
And the other day I was here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I told him I was gonna be there at 6, and I was like, fucking one more game. We jumped in, but like the big battle. Like big battle Slayer, we wanted to capture the flag, and we jumped in and we didn't get capture the flag. And I'm like, dude, we didn't pick it. We need to back out. And then I'm like, and I press start and I back out, and I'm like, and it's the warning thing came up, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck, exit. And then Minnie's like, I don't give a fuck, exit. And Sniper's like, no, whoa, cool guys, did you read it? It says that we might get banned and blah blah blah. It's like, dude, what the fuck reads that shit? We didn't get banned. It's like, oh, okay, whatever. And then we get together. And
Sniper
then
reads everything.
Yeah. And then we just like, all right, start it. You're banned. And we're like, fuck.
Oh, for leaving a game, right?
Yeah, for leaving the game.
Really hardcore.
Yeah, dude. 10-minute ban. 10-minute ban. But I ended up leaving. But the game was fun, dude. It's It just looks like crap. Like the crap.
Yeah.
It's very buggy. Super buggy. It's missing animations, I believe.
Yeah.
Some of the animations. It's really.
You guys are really selling me this week.
I know, right? No, it's just Halo 1, man. It's the first Halo, you know? The stories. First Halo is all about story. Halo 2 was like when the multiplayer finally got good, I feel.
Are you going to play the single player?
I want to.
Yeah.
I want to.
If you had all the time in the world.
Yeah, but no. I found an old SSD inside of my old MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
And
it was full of Bitcoin.
No, I wish, dude. I wish. Drew and I had a USB with some Bitcoin, but we don't know where the fuck it is. But that's because we were doing. Never mind. But there was. But no, but like the game is buggy. This is the weirdest thing. If you're getting shot at, you're expected to see like flashes or something, right, or fucking blood coming out of you or something. No, it's just like I'm running. And it's like, no, like what the fuck just happened? And then if they headshot you, or like if they get you with two sniper shots, well, you're fucked unless they headshot you, right? But like there's no flashing, there's no nothing. It doesn't show you how your meters, like as your shield's coming down and then your health's coming down. Like that's so weird, like in a game. Like
you're just taking damage, you don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, you don't know where it's coming from. Like it's just like, and I look everywhere and there's like eight guys over there or something, and it could be just anyone, and I don't know what direction the bullets are coming from. It's very weird.
Between these two dated shitty games, I'm gonna have to go with Rebellion on this one.
With Halo? Did you ever play Halo?
No.
Oh, dude, why not?
I was too busy playing. I was already on PC by then. I was playing.
Halo came out on PC, first one.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Like a couple years later.
I think it came out later, but it just didn't have a very big release either. I remember buying it, but it was.
It was an Xbox game. It was a real Xbox game, to be honest.
I don't know. I remember buying Halo and feeling weird that I had to go buy a game off a shelf. I think this must have been after Steam had been around for a little while. Yeah. Like, I don't know. There was something weird about it. And then, like, I couldn't. To get into games, you had to load up into their own little search or their browser to find games.
Which have always been shitty, too. Like, the UI still sucks, right? Guys, just Microsoft just can't.
I never played the single player, though.
I don't know. But this is good Halo, man. The first three were Bungie, and Reach was Bungie, I think, was the last one. Like, those were good. Once they went to fucking 343, that's when it was just like, four was like, the fuck? Five was just like, and now with Infinite or whatever, they're like, we're going to give you the best Halo ever, guys, we promise.
Of course they're going to say that.
Yeah, bullshit.
All right.
That's what
that was. So last night was UFC 248. I watch just about every UFC that comes out. But I bring it up because I saw a glorious thing happen last night. There was a fight between two women for the strawweight title, the 115. It might be the best fight I've ever seen in my whole life.
Better than... For me, one of my best fights was The Show.
Uh-huh.
Remember the show where they would make a the first fight ever from those like the finale. Yeah. So that was one of my favorite.
That fight is incredible, dude. That fight built the UFC. So what he's talking about is the Ultimate Fighter was the reality show where they fight
Ultimate Fighter,
and the two guys that fought at the end of that, it was like watching Rock'em Sock'em Robots, but with like some strategy, you know, like they actually knew what they were doing and they just left it out on the line. And Dana White will say this, like, or they were watching the ratings between rounds, and it was exponentially growing between rounds because people were calling their friends or like, you got to switch it to Spike. You got to watch this fight. It's crazy. And it's just all three rounds.
That fight was so great.
It's like that. But for five rounds, dude, it's these two ladies beat the shit out of each other. Yeah, not one person is saying that it's not the best women's fight. I think it might be the best fight, period, ever. It was incredible. So if you have the chance, I'm not going to say won, and it doesn't really matter who won. The commentators couldn't even commentate anymore. They were just saying, oh my God, over and over. One of the commentators was also like, we're going into round five. He's like, I don't know who won one of these rounds. Like, I can't even tell you who won even one of the four rounds that just happened, let alone what's going to happen in the fifth round. Insane, dude. Insane. And the one girl's forehead fucking got huge. She looked like a demon, especially since I was, my next thing, I was on edibles last night, and which I never do weed, and I don't do edibles because I've tried them a few times. It didn't really do anything. So I grabbed a bunch this time, and that was a mistake. I was so fucking high.
How much?
20 milligrams. But for me, I never do it.
Oh, okay.
So, and the guy said, these are stronger than other ones. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I never feel anything. Gulp. And here's where I fucked up, dude. So I got like almost mushroom high. Like I was seeing things and stuff. And, but I was totally uncontrolled. But the problem was I got cotton mouth. And so I started just drinking. So I was already drunk when I ate the things. And so I just started drinking beers like crazy.
You get the spins?
I got super drunk. And I was so high, I didn't realize what drunk was. And I was just like all over the place. I was like, I don't know what to do with my arms. I threw up, dude. I fell asleep at my friend's house. I left my dog. Like, that's why I'm so low energy today. Like, I still haven't recovered from this. And so anyway, I think I would have had, if I ate one of the gummies, I would have been good. But I ate two and I was drunk. So it was, somebody said, I was laying on the ground. Somebody was like, oh, how the mighty beast has fallen.
The other day, I had a tamarindo, a pelón,
yeah,
the one that you squeeze. Yeah. It was an edible.
Whoa!
Yeah, they sell.
How was the flavor?
It was just like the candy, just like the Mexican candy. So good.
And nobody knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. Look it up. Well, I bet if they Google it, it's called pelón.
It's like a little plastic
candy. It's a Mexican candy.
It's like shaped like a 9mm bullet.
Yeah,
it's a
plastic. With a little nipple.
Yeah, with a little nipple, and then you push really hard,
and the tamarindo comes out.
And tamarindo comes out the top,
like very sweet.
They don't even know what tamarindo is.
Tamarind.
I don't know. It's like a dark.
Yeah, it's from trees.
Yeah, it's good. Mexicans love it.
Mexicans it's so love good. It. We put it on everything.
Everything.
Yeah. And
you know what we're talking about, Bobby?
No.
No. Yeah.
A pelón? No.
Nah.
I bet if you Google pelón, just pelón. Peloncito.
Even once he sees it, like, it's not going to explain much.
Yeah, I don't know.
P-E-L-L-O-N? Or, I don't know.
Breadstick?
No, they're right there. Those pictures.
Yeah.
Those ones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is. All right. Yeah. Yeah, I've had these before.
Okay. Yeah, super good.
Yeah.
But,
so anyway, they have edibles.
Yeah, 100 milligrams.
Damn.
Yeah, but
if you eat the whole thing.
Yeah, but I ate half of it.
Whew.
and then I gave the other half to someone else. Yeah. And we never felt it. Like ever,
dude. Not all milligrams are built the same. I think different companies, like,
yeah, but it's weird. Like I would have thought, because like maybe like my side of what I ate had almost nothing in there, and like the other side had more, but no, we were both the same. We both didn't feel it, so I don't know if, like, I don't know. It's just super weird.
Well, it's probably made by Mexicans, and you can't fucking trust them, dude.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
Super good.
At least it was tasty.
It was really good.
All right. What's next?
A little bit of news. A little bit of news here. Those are bigger than a bullet, by the way. Those are way bigger.
No, I meant the shape.
Like big.
The shape, once you take the cap off. That's what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the shape.
Yeah,
okay.
The shape.
Because I'm like a bullet? No way.
Good thing.
Those things are big. Okay, so first up in the news, Steam Labs' latest experiment is a highly tailorable news hub. So what? This is from Rock Paper Shotgun. This is one of their Steam experiments. So you can go to your news hub and you can tailor it, which makes it a lot better, because right now I just have a bunch of garbage showing up in mine.
Yeah.
But it shows you any updates, any live streams, any events, you know, any notable news regarding any of the games that you choose to follow. And you can change it to show me games in my library, games on my recommended list, games that I'm following, or games that
that I have on my wish list. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think getting rid of everything except for the games that I'm following, and then I can just choose what games I want to see updates about, that would be good.
Yeah.
And they're doing a better job of incorporating this information into the Steam page for the game, too. Like, if you go to a game store page, then you'll see these news updates as well. And it's really great to follow games that are in early access because depending
updates
on
and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Depending on the developer, a lot of times they'll have a post regarding any.
Yeah,
big
like
update.
I would like that. Like the other day, I was like, oh, is like Visage finally done so I can finally play it?
All right.
And then I'm like, I would have loved to just have an app. First of all, their fucking app sucks on iPhone.
Yeah,
piece of shit. Mm. It's horrible. They barely like after 4 or 5 years the screen that actually fills up the whole screen. Mm. Yeah, it was a piece of shit. But that'd be cool. Like, just so I can finally get updates from, like, developers when I want to play old games.
Up until right now, I mean, there's probably a better way of doing it, but, mm-hmm. like, tabs, a totally accurate battle mm-hmm. simulator. Twice a month, I click on it just to see if there was an update.
Yeah.
That's not a good way of doing this.
No, it's not.
Yeah. But I think if your library is pretty big, you're going to get a lot of junk in here. So I think what I'm going to do,
you can tailor it, right?
Yeah, you can tailor it. What I'm going to do is just check the following box and uncheck everything else. And then I'm just going to select the games that I'm interested in seeing updates about. And there really wasn't any reason for the whole following button beforehand. I don't really even know.
I don't even know what it does. Yeah. Maybe it tells you when it's on sale.
I think you get like a little notification.
Yeah.
If there's something new, like that green tab in Steam. But I don't know. I followed a game just to see like what it would do, and I didn't notice any difference. So now it kind of serves a purpose. So yeah, that's cool. Next up, Valve says Half-Life Alyx is not the end. Not the end of its return to the series.
That's a weird phrasing there. It's not even worth clicking on. That's basically all they said.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
Yeah. They said...
last game.
Yeah, we don't see this as... just the return, but
there might be Half-Life 3, guys. Oh my god,
or whatever it is,
or the new episode, the third episode.
For so, Half-Life 2. Ray, did you bought this already, right?
Yeah, it's done.
You have an index, right?
I'm ready. Yes.
Yeah. When does all this happen?
The 20th or the 21st, right?
I got you.
Same day as Doom, so I'll be playing Alyx. You'll be playing Doom.
Yeah,
I'm actually canceling my Doom collector's edition because it's $200, man. Like I need the money right now. So.
Yeah. $200 is a lot.
Yeah, it comes with a helmet though. I want the helmet. It's wearable. That'd be so awesome. I don't know, man.
The last time Bethesda did that with the Fallout thing, I heard people were pretty upset with the quality.
Well, the bag. The bag was a horrible quality. It's like they made it look like it was canvas and nice, like jacket, army.
Right?
No. We ended up returning it. It was a piece of shit. It was like instead of it being like because like. It looked like a canvas, like an actual military bag, really cool. I got it some shitty, like, nylon-looking plastic, bag that I was like, yeah, bullshit.
But somehow this one's going to be a cool helmet.
No, well, the helmet was cool for like, it fit on my head. I was like, oh, dope. But I was like, but this bag's a piece of shit. So I just returned it, and then Bethesda was doing, like, a whole, like, we'll give you a new one or whatever, but I just never cared. Mm-hmm. What happened with Fallout 76? I didn't want it. It's to give me all my money back. But I'm excited for this, dude. Another cool news is it's kind of a rumor, but not 100. Like it's not. Wait, I mean not 100. Like it's not a rumor because everyone knows there's going to be a battle royale mode for Call of Duty,
right?
And they're saying it's the 10th. It's like there's like too many leaks. There's in 2 days. Cool. Like Warzone, so I'm like super excited for that because I've been playing just too much Apex Legends, and I'm just like, dude, I'm fucking hooked on Apex Legends right now.
Yeah,
it's just season so
good, huh?
Yeah, man, it's good. So good. The new character's fun, but then just like all the little modes and challenges I've been doing, like, and they add like right now they have a mode called Deja Lu, and it's just every time you land on the map, every gun and power up and everything in the same spot, it never changes.
Oh, okay.
So it's really cool. So it's like, oh, I'm going to drop here, and I know exactly where that purple shield is, and I know exactly where this is at, and I'm going to get a gold helmet here.
For what? For days?
Yeah. And then while you do those challenges, playing that mode, you get challenges, and you get tickets. You give those tickets into the game, and you get, like, skins and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
It's fun, dude. They give you so many skins.
Have you ever spent money on them?
No, never.
Dang.
No, because, like... the battle pass, I don't have to buy it because it comes with the EA Origins, the Origins thing, yeah. the premiere. I ended up paying for it again.
Yeah.
Because I want to play Jedi one.
Don't you have it?
It wasn't happening yet, no. But so I never played the battle pass. They always come there. They give you 10% off on everything when it comes to coins and stuff like that. So I could buy stuff, but I haven't. Right now, I kind of do because my character that I use is Octane. And there's an heirloom right now for like his little knife is really cool. And I kind of want it, but I don't want to spend like. I saw Shroud spend like $50 and that's how he got his. Just rolling. And he ended up getting his. So I kind of want to try it, but stupid. Just for a fucking skin. I can't.
Yeah.
But the Battle Royale Warzone is going to come out. They're saying it's squads only. There's not going to be any duels or anything or any single player stuff. It's going to be a separate launcher, supposedly, and free to play.
Oh, so it's its own game.
So it's kind of like its own game. Oh, yeah, okay. Something like that. So their trailer will be it's either the game's going to get released on the 10th or the trailer's going to get released on the 10th.
Did the zombie mode used to have its own launcher? Like in the old, like when they first started doing it?
I don't remember.
I swear I remember.
I was never a fan of zombies, dude. I never was. I like
survival.
Yeah.
And the last one was fun. The one that was part of that Call of Duty that had three different games in it.
Oh, yeah. That one was all right.
We played one.
Super great.
We played one. I remember. We were like in a Coliseum.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
Listener questions. All right. First one from Warconius. What are you doing about anyone with COVID-19 on Discord? Quarantine, I think I may have it. My balls tingle.
Your balls are only tingling because you're looking at a picture of me. The quarantine, what are we doing in real life? Has it affected your guys' life?
People won't shut the hell up about it, but that's about it.
Okay, so it affected my life as in I'm the one that's like talking a lot about it. Oh. So my group chat, dude, like with my friend, they hate me right now.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, did you guys, like Ray, we saw it. I'm like, okay, just making sure. So I want you guys to be safe, all right? And they're like, shut up, Karen. And I'm like, I'm not a Karen. What the fuck, guys? But it's because I'm on that Reddit, dude. Yeah. And like, I just scroll and I'm just like, the fuck? No, no, no. I'm waiting for one to say zombie strain. I'm like, ah!
Yeah.
Like, but I got my parents paranoid.
Yeah.
So like, I think my mom thinks she probably has it right now. Like, she's freaking out.
Sam went to a kids party yesterday at like Ninja Factory, where it's just like a giant thing. That's tons of kids running around.
That's a coronavirus central,
like,
dude.
I was like, you can't take the baby. Like, I don't care if you go, like, it's fine. Just don't take the baby. So that was the only precaution I've taken.
Nah, dude, like, honestly.
Well, somebody in Chula Vista, the only person who's had it in Chula Vista worked at an AT&T store. The only person in San Diego was someone in an AT&T store in Chula Vista.
The whole, like, store's all quarantined and shit, like movie style.
Yeah.
With people around it, like, you can't even get closer.
Yeah. Really, I mean, cool. Fucking all kinds of public events are being shut down.
Yeah. Oh, well, Coachella, Mike, today they just announced the first person in Riverside County, like over in Palm Springs. Palm Springs in Riverside County. First person in Coachella has a coronavirus.
Yeah.
So, and they weren't going to cancel Coachella.
It's the desert. You can't get sick in the desert.
Yeah, you can't, dude. Imagine Coachella, dude. I have tickets for that. Yeah. And imagine just a bunch of sweaty, half-naked people just like sneezing on each other, watching their favorite artists. Dude. That's where the pandemic is going to start. I swear to fucking God. People from all over the world.
They
canceled Ultra. They canceled South by Southwest.
Yeah.
They canceled some of the conventions that I was going to work. So I have no work for like the next 2 weeks. Yeah, it fucking sucks. Right now I'm working some shitty ventilation fucking convention. And,
gosh, man.
It's
crazy how much.
It's crazy how much is affecting people, dude.
Convention?
Yeah, it's funny, man. It's funny. It's like we were laughing. There's like here. It's like there's no way that this like they were gonna cancel it because it's a bunch of like older like it's like older dudes and they all know their ventilation like crazy. It's like, oh, look at that shaft and da da da. Like they're like, no, dude. So
VentCon 2020,
yeah, dude. It's a big deal. I thought that was funny.
They should do it online. That way it would be an event.
There's one, I was listening in on one today. We were, because it was a board. It was like, it was all the higher ups, right? So they didn't even want us in there. They're like, so how do you guys want us to do the, we got it, we just want, just set up something, just to set up a PowerPoint. And we're like, oh, okay, whatever. So we just, and we walked out, and then they would call us, be like, oh, can you come in real quick? It's like, okay. Oh, his mic stopped working. I was like, okay. So I'm like, fucking, I mean,
that's whatever. What you're there for.
Yeah, man. And I'm like, all right, cool. They're like, all right, get out. I'm like, okay. Then later on, like, I'm in the other room, and I can still hear the whole fucking convention, right? Because, like, their whole little meeting, because, like, there's only an air wall. So I can hear everything with the mics, and we're just, like, dude, I'm watching Narcos and getting paid.
Yeah.
And then I start hearing, like, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? Kind of like the Peanuts, like, parents talking, or, like, all the adults.
Teacher.
And then, apparently, one of the guys didn't come to San Diego because he was going to get, like, coronavirus.
Yeah.
So he's, like, the fucking conference call was a cell phone with a guy in a cup, and they put a microphone right on it. And Neil walks out, and he's just like, yeah, I just put a microphone on a phone.
They should have talked to you about that. You could have probably
said, we could have set something up for them, dude. Yeah. Very easy. But we actually have, like, an actual phone, like, speaker system, like,
yeah,
and we can actually connect it to, like, anything.
You know what I'm sick of is the Corona beer jokes.
The funniest one that I saw was, there's a refrigerator and there's one Corona beer on the side, and there's a Bud Light and a Coors Light wearing the masks on the other side of the fridge. Yeah. I thought that was cute. But
it's funny, Bobby complained about too many people talking about it. Then you went on to talk about it. And then I said, I've had enough of the jokes. And then you hit me with one more of the jokes.
Coronavirus is real.
All right, next.
Did you know, Bobby?
Oh, I know. I see all the same articles everyone else does, but I just don't care. You know, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing.
We're not going to die from it, dude. Yeah. We're fine.
Well, didn't they say more people are dying of the flu, like usual? Like, flu wipes out a ton of people every year, dude. It's like a culling.
It's funny. Like, it's like coronavirus. It's like coronavirus has killed 50 people. Everyone's buying toilet paper and water, right? Yeah, yeah. It's like everyone's dying of AIDS. No one fucking wears a condom yet. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? I don't get it.
All right. Fuse 41 says, I miss Ray. Any talks of interviews to replace him or keep it as a trio? The YouTuber guy last week was good company.
The replacement. I don't know what we're doing. We're just kind of like playing it by ear. Yeah. Ray won't even fucking leave. He's not paying rent, and he's still here.
Hey, I already paid rent for my apartment. I'm not over there.
You haven't, not even one night have you stayed there?
No.
Damn.
No. The electric company comes on Thursday.
Yeah, we're just fucking around, man. Whatever happens, happens. We're not forcing anything. We're not looking for anything. Although the black Ray was like better than the Mexican Ray. So.
Black Ray. It's funny. I know I used to work with his girlfriend. When I clicked on his
way?
Small so, world.
Mexican Ray is better. No, but
I think it's going to be pretty random, though. You never know who you're going to get when you tune in each week.
Surprise. Yeah, I think I've been on the show more than she, and I've been out of it.
Fuse 41 also says, I've been playing a lot of Gorn. What's the best way you killed someone in a game? Funnier the better.
First time that I read. Okay, when I read this, it wasn't me killing somebody. It was, now I have. But anyway, let me get through this. And WoW, there was one of the first areas where, like, you start running into the Alliance, the other side. Not on Goro Crater. Anyway, it was like a jungle area, one of the first jungle areas. Mm-hmm. And I got chased onto a drawbridge. Or like a plank bridge. What is it? Rope bridge? Is that what it's called? And I got killed. And then, there were these guys. What do you call them? Just people that kill for the sake of killing. What are this called?
People who kill for the sake of
killing. Yeah. They're just out there griefing. They're just out there griefing.
Homicidal maniac.
Well, you're talking about another player, not an NPC.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
A troll?
No, it wasn't a troll. There was a name for, like... when you kill a PC and you're just...
When they were ganking?
Ganking, yeah. They were just ganking, right? And they killed me two or three times. Just, mm-hmm. They're hunting me down. Every time I get my body, they'd kill me again. Mm-hmm. So I was crossing this rope bridge like the second or third time, and they killed me right at the center of it, right where it bows, they bow. And so there were some on the right side and some on the left side, and they're just waiting for me to get my body again.
Yeah.
And... I swam in the river underneath the bridge, and I was able to, like, I was just close enough. I jumped out of the water and just close enough to get my body, dive back down under the water and like swim away. And I angled the camera that you could see, and they're like running around because my body disappeared. Yeah. And they're all like just like looking for me. I thought I was so fucking clever after that. I was so happy with myself.
I think my favorite, my best was best kill, right?
Yeah, best kill. Which has nothing to do with what my story was.
Running away from gankers. This was CSGO, which you really don't think this is like something really cool. And CSGO is just, you know, headshots and shit. But it was a pistol round, so it's one of the first rounds. And the USP only has 24 bullets. So after fucking going through it, I'm completely out of bullets, and I there was one guy, and I guess I shot him. I shot him a bunch of times, but I didn't kill him. There was no kill shots. But I was like, this guy has to be super low now. Like if I fart on this guy, he'll die. And the only thing I had on me was a flash. Mm-hmm. So I threw a flash like just randomly because I wanted to knife him.
It does 1 point of damage, doesn't it?
But the flash hit off a wall, hit the guy, and killed him. Dude. It was the coolest thing ever. I just wish it was during the time when like the NVIDIA always records your gameplay.
Yeah.
That would have saved that, dude. It was gold, man. Everyone was just like, oh, it was really cool. It was awesome.
Now, when that's one of those symbols you never see, right?
Because yeah.
It says Ray killed whoever, right?
And it shows a little grenade or whatever. Flashbang. Yeah.
I always wonder in Deep Rock if you can kill somebody with the flare gun with the scout, because it does a little bit of damage.
I would imagine.
Yeah, but they would have to be so close to death. I don't know. I think it's hilarious when you shoot people in the face with that. That's so funny. It's so bright. But there's a lot of games that I think try to make weird and interesting ways to kill people. One of them, Bulletstorm, the multiplayer for that. Yeah. So it's not really like a PvP. It's actually co-op. And all it is an arena style where they just flood in enemies. And there's all these environmental things around, like spikes and canisters of whatever. And you just try to kill them in weird and interesting ways. And the more weirder or interesting, the more points you get. So you just try to beat the other players by getting more points. And that was actually pretty fun for a while. Like that co-op mode in that game was pretty good. But
do you have an answer to the question?
The funniest way I've ever killed somebody, I don't know. Like nothing where it's like accidentally happened and unexpected. But I remember in Mysteries of the Sith, so the sequel, like the DLC to Jedi Knight, they had a carbon gun in that. And it was the first time in a game I've ever really seen where you could freeze somebody in multiplayer, just freeze them in place. And then you just like hit them once and they shatter. And it was kind of a troll weapon, I guess, but it was hilarious because you just run up on someone, freeze them, and then boom. I mean, in the original Jedi Knight, what was always great is they had one of the weapons was a mine. So you could plant just unlimited amount of mines in a location and just bait somebody into following you and they would just blow up. So that was always great.
One of my favorite ones too was Battlefield 2, I want to say. There was a specialist or whatever, the guy who could throw plastic explosives and then detonate them. So at the beginning of the round, the enemy boats always showed up at the same place. So you just fucking throw some in the fucking water right there. You can blow them up. But I remember another time an APC pulled up to one of the flags, capture points, and I crawled underneath it and just put every single piece of plastic explosive I had. And then when they drove away, I fucking clicked that shit. It was 8 kills plus the vehicle plus the defense bonus. And I just like I went from last place to fucking first place. Those things are awesome.
VR kills are fun too, like in Boneworks. Like it's fun when you just start the game and they give you every weapon and they give you one dude to fuck around with or a couple.
Yeah,
it's fun, man. Like grabbing by the head and you're like, bitch, and you like rip it, like, and you grab another guy and you're like, it's just the coolest feeling, dude. You're like, you feel all strong and shit. And then but it's weird, dude. It fucks with your head, dude. VR, it's awesome. I love it. So I can't wait for Alex.
Did you listen to Cheese 45 minute review of Saints and Sinners?
Oh, really?
No,
I skipped past it. Oh. I'm joking. No,
it actually sounds awesome.
It sounds fun, dude. Like, I just saw the video of like just the beginning gameplay, how you run through and you how to kill the zombies, and like they're like in trash cans and you fucking
have yeah.
And but it looks neat. It looks, I really want to try it.
She was saying how like the first one, she was like, oh my god, I actually stabbed something in the head. Like I feel like not right about this. And then next one, she stabbed in the head and spanked it in the ass. That escalated quickly.
All right, Zap asks, Emilio, are you still doing everyday carry? What's in your pockets?
You know, it's changed because now that I work at a construction site, all the tools are around me all the time, so you don't have to carry your own tools anymore. So, very minimal. I just have my phone that has my a wallet on the back of it, so I don't have a wallet. So I think that's my number one recommendation. It might not work for everybody, but for me, it's the best. I used to lose my wallet all the time, or sometimes lose my phone. But now that they're one,
now you lose them all at the same time.
But I don't, because it's so important that like if I walk away 5 feet, I'm like, oh shit! Like I know that I'm missing something, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, but before that, I still really like my Shuffle 2. It's a knife by a company. It starts with Kershaw. Kershaw Shuffle 2. I think that's a really good, nice knife if just for everyday carry. And and the flashlight. I don't have the name of it. I have a super powerful flashlight that's only like 2 inches long. People are always like, what the fuck, dude? I'm like, I know. And you just USB charge that thing, and then it's just ready to go. It's so much better than a cell phone light.
That's dope. Yeah. I have a flashlight, too.
Sniper asks, is the Kool-Aid Man the jar or the liquid?
I've got to say that I use the jar because the face is painted on the jar.
Or is it painted on the liquid?
If you poured him out, he'd still be alive, I feel, for sure.
Oh, shit.
I think so.
But would he be the Kool-Aid Man?
No.
He'd just be
pitching. And what if they put, like, Tampico in there or some Sunny D?
Yeah.
Be the Sunny D Man?
No, I
hate it.
Red
Sunny D?
Red Sunny D.
Yeah, he's the jar.
He's the Kool-Aid.
That's the GLG.
No, it's together. They have to be together.
Like, are you you or are you the blood inside you?
Yeah.
Like, if I took the blood out, would you still be Ray?
No.
No?
I'd be dead, bro.
All right. That's all the listener questions we got. What's everybody playing next week?
Curse of the Dead God. I always say what I'm going to play. It's never.
I know, right? Yeah. I'm going to play this brand new game that's coming out. I'm going to review it next week. I played some CSGO or some Apex Legends. Yeah. He played some game from the 80s, and you played a roguelike.
Yeah. That's how it goes every week.
What do we have? 2 weeks until Doom comes out?
Yeah. A
little over 2 weeks.
I hope they have a clean launch without a lot of bugs and stuff.
I don't think. They wouldn't. I mean,
how was the first Doom launch? Because I didn't get into Doom till like the second.
I mean, the problem with the first Doom launch was that they released the multiplayer beforehand as like a demo, and people were like, good. "This is." I mean, it was all right. It was like deathmatch from like the 90s, and people were like, "Dude, this sucks." And then the single player came out, and they're like, "Oh, okay, this game is awesome." But like everybody kind of had this bad, like it got review bombed even before the game came out because everybody just had this bad taste for like the multiplayer. Match.
What do you guys think?
It's fine. It's good for like 15 minutes, though, but it can't.
PUBG added deathmatch. You know that?
What?
PUBG added team deathmatch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They just let's say just they put a circle and then it just never expands.
So
and then
respawns?
And respawns, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like you start off with a kit, like sniper or M4 or whatever, or AK, right? You play every kit, you have all your shit, you kill other people. And you pick up their shit, like their bullets or their health and stuff like that, so you keep like healing. Huh. Just a little deathmatch, just a little something extra during the game.
Yeah.
Still sucks, you know? But, you know, it's cool, I guess.
Gosh, we've only been around for 5 years and we've given 2 Battle Royales Game of the Year. I'm thinking about it.
PUBG was just fucking amazing when it came out. Yeah. Now it's just like, guys, move past it. Like, do something else.
PUBG 2?
It's something, dude.
Yeah.
It's because after they gave it to that Chinese company, it's just, it was after like the whole Blue Hole thing, and it's just like, and PlayerUnknown, he just went with a Chinese company, it just became like a mobile game on PC.
Yeah.
The mobile game does better, I think, than the PC game now.
Yeah, because everybody on PC bought it.
Yeah.
I think mobile does better in general than PC, yeah, unfortunately.
So I saw this this statistic. I guess mobile made more money this year than consoles and PC gaming together.
Oh, shit.
So,
well, everybody has a phone. Not everybody has a gaming PC.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Dude, I would say at least every 2 weeks I look for a mobile game that I like.
Well, like on your phone, you can download that NVIDIA thing and you can play all your PC, the games that are allowed.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do that. I want to do that so I can play upstairs too.
So that's cool. Like, you can do that. Epic just went back and said, okay, we're good. You can actually do our game. Because Epic pulled out of the whole NVIDIA streaming service.
Yeah.
The GeForce.
I'm going to do that this week, actually. So I could but I can't play things like Curse of the Dead Gods.
No.
Because it's not going to be on the list.
Right. Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Next week, I don't know, man. I'm really digging the strategy. I may try Galactic Battlegrounds. That's basically Star Wars Age of Empires.
Right.
Yeah. I played that a little bit back in the day, but I was like, oh, this is just Age of Empires. Like, literally an Age of Empires skin. Like, no difference between Age of Empires.
But it's Star Wars.
Yeah, but it's Star Wars. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll go back and, like, see if that's actually any different than Age of Empires 2, or I don't know.
So, I've been thinking of getting back to The Division, because I heard that new DLC, like, the Warlords of something.
Were you on the server when everybody bought it? Because it was $3.
It was $3.
And everybody started playing it.
Yeah, because, like, you paid the $3, and you pay, like, $15 for all the regular DLCs, the first year, year one DLCs. And the year two is just, like, $20, I think, or $25 for the... But all the reviews are great. Yeah. It's like fucking, it's awesome. It's hard
to say this about a game. There's nothing wrong with Division 2. There's not one thing. Like, I played.
They're calling it Division 2.5. Like they're like, this could actually just, like, it could have added a little more. It could have been the fucking sequel, like Division 3. But they're saying it's amazing. Like,
yeah. That's why they gave it away for $3, because they knew that they had something good on their hands.
Yeah.
And that $3 are probably gonna buy.
Then you pay the
how much is the DLC?
$25, I think. $25.
That's steep for a DLC, but
it adds a lot. Good, it's supposed to add a lot to it. And then
like, wow, you pay for the DLC.
Yeah.
And they pay for the newest version.
And they finally like leveled everything. You know, they did all the fixes and it's all, because some of the raids were way too fucking hard. You can only do them if you knew everyone on your team, and it took them a while to add, like, to implement, like playing with just randoms and trying the raids.
Yeah.
And then it was just, some of them were just way too hard. They had to, like, fix a lot of the stuff, and they nerfed a lot of the shit, and some of the stuff that was too easy, they made it, like, an appropriate level. So they fixed the game. They've been doing so many updates, so I think it's time for me to jump back into the Division. So I want to do that before Alex. Alex, I'm probably going to end up beating it, like, in 2 days. Like, I'm going to just breeze through it. There's a part of me that wants to replay fucking Half-Life just for the fuck of it.
Yeah, well, Black Mesa 1.0 came out.
Yeah,
so if you want to play part one again, that's
I have it time. I still haven't played it,
of course you do.
But and then Call of Duty comes, like, it might come out on Tuesday, who knows, but I'm excited. It's fucking,
what might,
Warzone, battle royale, right. Yeah, man, Call of Duty Warfare, my Modern Warfare was amazing. It's fucking great. The rumor for the next Call of Duty coming out this year is the second one. But I don't, like, they should just keep building on this one. And just, like, it's so good. Every year releasing a new Call of Duty, it's just, I think that's just stupid now.
Yeah.
They have something good going on right now. They just add a couple more modes. Keep it at DLCs when it comes to, like, adding campaigns, stuff like that or something.
They're making so much money. I think they're doing it right, I think.
Like, people will stop playing Modern Warfare and jump to Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
And then
spend the money to buy that.
And then that kills the games.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. They already made their money because they charge so much up front.
That's just, I don't know. I think it's trash. Just stick to one. And then,
they've been on a roll lately.
What if the next one sucks?
I mean, you always have to deal with that. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Speaking for Ray, Bobby, and myself, sorry for the low energy. Don't do drugs, kids. Edible titties.
That's delicious. Edible titties. I will eat your titty. The what?